I want our listeners to know that Jennifer Harvey writes as eloquently as she speaks in Raising White Kids, Bringing Up Children in a Racially Unjust America. I don't know if you watch The Daily Show, but Trevor Noah just shared something that was absolutely stunning. I just saw the clip this morning, and I think you and he should go on stage together and talk about this. He received this.
Can you get me on his show? I'd love it. He's amazing.
Maybe we can do it. He is. And this was one of those segments they call Between the Scenes. So this isn't part of the regular broadcast, but this is a scene you can find, and I could connect you up with it, Jennifer, if you want to see it. But he received a question from the audience about reparations. And essentially, I think it was from probably a white man who was experiencing unhappiness, shall we say, with the relative disadvantage that white have to have. And we've been very privileged. And so if you do equity, that reparations in particular are a scary thought to white people, that you'll take some of our stuff, right? And he addresses it just off the cuff so beautifully. I really think the two of you having a conversation would be a meeting of great minds. And I can only hope that he invites you on, and I'll be happy to vote for you.
Fantastic. I look forward to that. Thanks, Mark.
So one of the things that you talk about in Raising White Kids, Jennifer, is how to do this with your kids. We are so proprietary about our kids, and we're so afraid for them frequently. At the time of Ferguson, you took your kids to protests where a lot of the people of color were in the environment. Maybe almost all people of color were out proclaiming, you know, Black Lives Matter and we need to address this. Some people thought at that time, you should keep your kids away from that. That's too much of a cauldron that you're putting people into. What do you think? I mean, everybody has to make their own decision, of course. But what do you think are good guidelines for parents in terms of what you can risk? And can you put your kids in these questioning territories?
You know, I have chosen to take my kids to protests for their entire lives. So I have memories of back, actually, when Trayvon Martin was killed. One of my kids was a baby and had her on my back. And I do feel like these questions around exposing our kids to spaces where what's being talked about is pretty scary. I mean, it's pretty scary to be in a space where people are talking about police killing young people, that these are hard questions. And so, for example, the incident you're referring to, I write about in the book, taking my kids to a protest when they were old enough and I knew they were going to hear things after Michael Brown was killed in Ferguson. I had to think about, you know, I wasn't eager for my kids to hear that a young teenager had been killed by police because I didn't want them to be scared. And I think that there is a danger of sort of, you know, I'm not going to speak about explicitly about violence with a child at a certain age. And so I sort of wrestled with that, my partner and I did. But I also, and I think parents have to make their own decisions about that. But I also thought, and I still believe this and to be true, that white children are, we worry so much as parents about insulating them and keeping them innocent, quote unquote. And I think what white parents need to understand is that we are living in a world where parents of children of color, they do make judicious decisions about how and when to talk to their children about, for example, the violence of police against Black and brown people. But they don't get to decide not to do it. They know that they have to have the talk, for example. And I think as white parents, we have to err on the side of choosing against the insulation of our kids, because when I try and keep a white child innocent, I'm coming to understand as a mom that I'm choosing to barter away my kid's humanity, keep her numb, keep her protected from the very information and truths that she needs to be able to identify with her fellow humans, the Black people that she has in her life who she loves, the Latino people she has in her life who she loves, if I keep her insulated, she becomes unable to really understand or identify with what those people in her life are experiencing in this world every single day. And so when it came to taking my kids to protests at the ages that I knew they were going to start to hear language that was pretty angry and talked about violence, I decided that the risk of them hearing more than I might want them to at that age was actually a risk I needed to take, because it's more important to me as a parent of white children who are going to constantly be insulated to make sure that they have the opportunity to stay human by being exposed to what it is that people in this country are living with every single day. And so, for example, I wouldn't take them to die-ins. I wouldn't ask them to do a die-in. So I'm careful and thoughtful about where I take them, but I absolutely take them. And I think it's important I've taken them to protest, because what my now 8 and 10-year-old know is that it's normal and good to protest when there is injustice. And I want them to see that as appropriate responses to injustice, that you show up and you use your voice and you get with others and you say no. I want them to think that's something we do as human beings. And my kids at this point do see it that way. And so that to me at this point is a win.
There are many dangers when you go into those situations. One of them is that you'll feel embarrassed, right? One is that you might feel inferior. One is that you might feel judged, right? There's one statement that you pass on. One of your daughters looks around and is hearing, oh, black people of color are subjected to violence. They could be killed by police. And she realizes, but we're safe, we're white. And she says that out loud. And I mean, yes. Oh my goodness. you're caught between two things. Yes, you want her to feel safe. You want her to have the confidence that, no, you don't have to run screaming and hide under the bed right now. But saying that is a challenging thing. Could you talk a little bit about your experience with that kind of situation?
Yeah, so I wanted to share that story in the book, because one of the reasons that I think white parents don't talk more openly and why we have so much anxiety about talking about race with our kids from young ages is that young children will say and do embarrassing things in public all the time, and they'll do it about all of the things, and we have so much anxiety about race that we sort of worry about what our kids are going to say and do in public, and so we choose to not have the conversation. So that story was me sharing, like, yeah, here I am with my, you know, I think she was like 4 at the time, child at a rally where people are grieving and they are outraged. And she says at the top of her lungs, you know, black people aren't safe. And actually that's true. And I'm glad she is learning that in that moment. And she goes on then to say, but we're white, so we are safe. And I was like, but the thing is, and what I did,
you're a brave mother, a very brave mother.
But Mark, I mean, it's such a great example of actually she's right. And so it was like in the moment, what I wanted first to do was to say to her, hey, you know what? And I got really quiet, but I didn't shame her. I said, hey, you know what? You're right. But let's talk about that in the car. And I wanted to say it that way, not because I wanted to shut her down, but I wanted to respect that was not, you know, a proclamation that the communities that are outraged and grieving in that moment that we are being in space with, you know, didn't need to hear that from a young white 4-year-old. But on the flip side of that, that was amazing that at the age of 4, she's recognizing, she's naming white privilege, right? And so in the car, I said to her, hey, I said, you know how you noticed that black people are not safe? And you noticed that we are white, and so we are safe? And she said, yeah. And I said, you know what? You're right. That's true. And I said, and actually, we were at that protest because we want the government, of course, that's what you tell a 4-year-old, we're at the protest to tell the government, you know, we want the government to make sure that everybody's safe. And so it was really a profound moment for me, because I realized that the sort of anxiety it caused me to have her make that awkward observation out loud in that space, and I hope no one heard her and was harmed by that, it was critical to her learning at age 4 for her to be able to say, wow, white people are safe, and then me to be able to say as her mom, yeah, we are, and that's why we were there, because everybody deserves to be safe. Black people should be safe too. Brown people should be safe too. And that's why we went and stood in solidarity with black and brown communities, because we as white people want everyone to be safe also. And so it turned out to be an amazing opportunity, again, for us to sort of grow that racial dialogue. And you can see why I feel you know, maybe not ready, but clear that we are going to continue having these conversations when she's a teenager, because we were already having them when she was four, and we haven't stopped ever since. And so that gives me a lot of hope, and as a parent, gives me a lot of life relative to the value of trying to do something that feels hard and feels risky and feels like I don't necessarily know what I'm doing, but that I'm seeing some different outcomes in my child than I saw in my own life as an 8-year-old, 9-year-old, 10-year-old.
And you'll find out many more such vignettes in Raising White Kids, Bringing Up Children in a Racially Unjust America by Jennifer Harvey.